afternoon, everyone out there in internet radio land listening to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I'm the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome. A happy Saturday to you. I'm going to entertain you with something in regard to the soul. Did you know that you have a spirit in your body? Did you really, really know that? You remember the song by the Police? We are spirits in the material world. 1981, I believe that came out. And the Police were so far ahead of their time. They were an awesome band, just awesome. And it took guts and courage and bravery to come up with that song back then, you know. It's about 40-some years ago, 44 years ago. Anyway, so let me begin to entertain you here. Oh, by the way, we have a spirit in our body, and the soul is the brain of our spirit. Just like we have a physical brain in our body, we have a so-called brain of the spirit. So when you pop out of your body on that day, or you transition to the spirit realm, you know, whether you stay there or you come back, you've heard of near-death experiences, people come back. But if you, either way, you'll see what you look like. You're a spirit of light. The spirit, which pops out of the body through the head or the chest, is just like the physical body. It resembles it in many ways. It has most of the senses, you know, sight, hearing, smell, feeling. I'm not sure about taste. I think that's one of them, right? Anyway, so if you look at yourself, you look at a spirit, it looks just like the physical body, but it is sometimes transparent as you look through it because it's made of light, billions of electrons, which are like small little funny faces, happy faces, all moving, jumbling around, and also translucent, which means it could have all the colors of the rainbow. And you have facial characteristics like you do here. It's a configuring spirit, which means that if you're old, let's say you die at the ripe old age of 85, 90 years old, if you want to, don't necessarily have to, but when you become a pure spirit, you can look like an age 30 mold. The age 30 mold is the typical one that people choose because it's like where you're fully adult and in the prime of your life, right? So that's what most spirits choose, the age 30 mold. And the soul, being the brain of the spirit, once you cross over to the other side, to the afterlife, then you have a remembering of where you came from before you were born and access to universal knowledge where you can get a lot of answers to your questions and also remember all the past lives you've had on the planets, different planets throughout the universe. Some spirits, some souls are old souls, well-traveled. You know, I think most souls here on Earth are not the younger souls because it's such a difficult school of learning here. And it's hard, you know, people struggle to make enough money, struggle to not get sick, struggle to be happy. And so the soul, it kind of burns, if you will, because it's made of light energy, right? It has an intensity of light. One thing we'll notice when we get to heaven, if you will, that world of light over there, is that we all shine with our own light commensurate to the level of evolution we have achieved on the planets we've lived on. So let's say your life here on Earth is over, you pop out of your body and you gravitate with that unseen energy to wherever you're meant to be. You go back to your soul group in heaven. And you look at yourself, and notice that you're shining with a light. And then maybe Jesus, who died on the cross, or one of the disciples, or one of the patriarchs of the Bible, or maybe any number of people from all walks of life, from every culture, throughout the centuries, here on earth, throughout our history, might come up to you and you see they're shining with a light too. And maybe they're very bright. Now, if you get in front of the Mother and Father God in the throne room, the creators of this solar system, then you notice that their light is so bright. And why is that, you might ask? Because they have grown. And that's what the creator of the universe is seeking, growth. Is there anything greater than growth, my friends? I don't think so. That is really what the creator wants, and that's why the creator put into effect the great plan that is going on now. Since the Big Bang, when one solar system after another began forming, and then one galaxy after another. But more than that, the sentient beings that live on all the different planets out there were created as well. And that was the third force of the universe that the Supreme Creator commanded. The first force was the force that created all the suns and planets and moons. The second force was the force that created all the animal and plant life. The third force was the force that created all the sentient beings out there, and believe me, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of, so that's easy for you to understand, of beings from all different kinds of shape and size, of all different kinds of shape and size, different colored skin, different colored eyes, shapes of eyes and ears, different heights and widths. And it's amazing. The most common form is humanoid, you know, a head and two arms and two legs. And they're out there. Believe me, all it takes is intellect, my friends. No offense intended, no offense intended, but it takes intellect to realize that. And it takes intellect to resolve our differences peacefully on Earth. That's why there's been so many wars in the past, because people haven't had the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully and talk it over instead of killing each other. This does not make sense. There is no justification for killing another human being, period. You can take a drink. Going back to what I was saying, one of our missions, if not the greatest mission, while we're here on Earth, is to increase the intensity of our soul's light. So, say, for example, and I've said this many times before, but for the benefit of those who might be tuning into my show for the first time, here it is again. Let's say you were born. Remember when you were born? I can't either. Even though our eyes and brains were working, right? Just like a camera. So when we were born, let's say that the light of your soul was a 60-watt intensity light bulb. And then during the course of your lifetime, hypothetically, an example, say you lived to be 80 years old. My parents lived to be 81, so 81. And then you pop out of your, spirit pops out of your body, you gravitate to that place, hopefully, over there in the distance, that's on fire. Or, I mean, you could be a ghost, too. If you're suddenly and violently killed, then you'll stay around here on the surface of the earth until eventually you realize that you're dead, and then make your way to the light. Sometimes a prayer or just a happy, beautiful thought from someone in regard to you can help that happen. Then there are those that go down below the surface of the earth, the evil people, so to speak, the ones who committed evil acts, let's put it that way. And don't you know that there have been some evil people here on earth before in the past? Can I get an amen to that? And so God's jail down below, also known as hell, is a form of rehabilitation, if you will. There's no eternal damnation, regardless what other people think. Usually those people aren't very forgiving. They'd be willing to forgive their own child for making a mistake, right? Anyway, so let's say you reach 81 years old, you pop out of your body and your spirit is now shining with a 100-watt intensity light bulb shine. Congratulations, you've achieved 40 watts of spiritual development, of soul's evolution, of your soul's evolution, and now you are ready to move on, enjoy heaven for a while, celebrate your achievements here on earth, the life that you've lived, meet all the people that are there, remember all the angels. It'll be a remembering. You know, angels will be everywhere, all kinds of angels, and they are servants to Mother and Father God, and they're servants to us, too. They're helping us throughout our lives. Everybody, every single human being that you see, whether it's walking down the street or driving a car down the road, someone in the grocery line waiting to check out, they have at least one guardian angel with them and at least one spirit guide. Everybody, without exception. That'll help you love them a little bit better, my friends. And how else do you love people? Pray for them. But it depends if you're brave enough, if you're strong enough to pray. Do you know how to pray? Do you know who to pray to, exactly? Do you know what the Mother and Father God look like? Do you know what the Creator of the universe looks like? I do. I've talked about it in other radio shows, but right now, let me get back to my story. And let me tell you about my own soul's evolution. You going to take a drink? Lenny? Hey. Got my radio show here. Do you hear him? He's barking. Okay, he might go in. Okay, he lie down. That's good. But he might continue to bark. So just beware. You might hear barking. So here's a little song for you. I'm going to tell you a story. And I've said it before, but again, for those who are tuning in for the first time, you might find this interesting. So it goes like this. It's a song. I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest soul around. And I know, baby, just how you feel. You got to roll with the punches, get what's real. Van Halen, from the album 1984, the song is Jump. Lead singer is David Lee Roth. Came out in 1984, and you know what? I was alive back then, and I think, I never got a chance to ask him, that he was talking about me. He saw me. And I am one of the toughest souls around. I'm sure he hasn't seen all the souls on this earth. But let me explain my story to have you know what I mean. I'm going to take another drink. Go back 5 years from that, 1979, October, this very same month. I was working as a bellman in the Hyatt Hotel in San Diego on Mission Bay. I was a bellman there for 6 years. I saw a lot of celebrities come and go, people who were movie stars come down from Los Angeles, sports teams that played at the sports arena, rock stars, bands, they also played at the sports arena. They would stay in the hotel. I've seen them all. And one day, the Van Halen tour bus pulled up outside. And they had bags, so being a bellman, they directed me to go and get their bags. And I put their bags in a cart, and I was lifting up the car on a curb. When I look around, and there's David Lee Roth, standing right by the tour bus, looking at me. However, the look on his face, the look in his eyes was very hard to describe. It was kind of like a soul-to-soul interaction. He looked partly angry, partly arrogant, might have been high, I don't know. Kind of like also, what's a guy like you doing in a place like this, working a menial labor job. I see so much potential in you. You could be a rock star too. I am. If you saw me singing out here in my patio with all my equipment, I don't have anyone to sing to except for nature. Except when I go to church, and then I have the congregation to sing in front of. But otherwise, I watch the flies that fly around, butterflies, dragonflies outside, birds. I see how they react to my singing, and I'm a beautiful singer with all humility. But anyway, back to that stare. I wish now, in retrospect, I could have stopped what I was doing, walked over to him, keeping eye contact, and introduced myself. But just as quickly as it had began, it was over, a few seconds had passed, and I just looked away and I continued my job, pulling the cart of bags around the corner of the building, going around to the inside area, which had the swimming pool and the viewing pool alongside the tower building. And as I'm pulling the cart of bags, David Lee Roth comes walking up behind me. So in my mind, I was thinking, I've got to talk to him, because he was my idol back then. I worshipped him and Van Halen. I bought that first album, Running with the Devil, and that was such an incredible album. It really changed my life. David's voice and Eddie's guitar, that heavy metal guitar or hard rock guitar riffs, those riffs were just awesome. You know, Running with the Devil, Eruption, Jamie's Crying, Ain't Talking About Love, Ice Cream Man. It was wonderful. And I was transfixed. I used to pick up a putter, golf club, and play air guitar when I heard that song. And when David Lee Roth looked at me like that, I guess that kind of burst my bubble, because I really loved him. I did. And the band. I was their number one fan, the way I looked at it. But anyway, I asked him, I had to strike up a conversation. I was a pretty shy person back then. I said, "Hey, David, who's your favorite band?" I needed to know who he liked. And he said, "Deep Purple." I said, "Do you like Judas Priest?" Because I did. They were like my second favorite band back then. He said, "They're all right." And that was it. That was all my interaction with him. I took the bags in the tower building. I rode the elevator up to the floor. Alex, the drummer, I went in his room, and he was like all over the place. He was jumping on the bed. And he looked at me and said, "I want to rent a Camaro. Where can I get a Camaro?" And so I can't remember for sure, but I picked up the phone. I put him in touch with Dollar Rent-A-Car, who we work with. And I don't know if they're able to get him a Camaro. But that was my encounter with Alex. Later on, I went back down to the lobby after I delivered all the bags. And maybe about an hour later, as they were getting ready to go to the concert, and I was able to get a free ticket, I'm going to take a drink. I saw Eddie and Alex sitting outside the lobby on the stone porch. And they were brushing each other's hair. If you know anything about the Van Halens, even if you think about the name, they're from Europe, Holland specifically. And they do things differently there. I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, I went to the concert. It was a great concert. Afterwards, I went back to the hotel because I still wanted to talk with David, because he was my idol, like I mentioned. I'm walking down the hallway, and I wasn't supposed to be doing that because employees aren't supposed to fraternize with the guests. And I was risking getting in trouble, but it was worth it. And so I'm walking down the hallway to go inside the tower building. And who is walking along almost next to me? None other than the bass player, Michael Anthony. And in his right hand, he's got a bottle of Jack Daniels. So I pull up alongside him, and I said, "Hi, Michael. Great concert. Can I have a drink of your Jack Daniels?" And he said, "Sure." Gave me the bottle. I took a swig, gave it back to him. "Thank you. You're welcome." So then I went up into the tower building, rode the elevator up to David's floor. I remembered all the rooms. And I go outside, but this time I'm getting kind of nervous because I was shy, as I mentioned back then, and he was like on top of the world. You know, Van Halen was the number one rock band back then, a guy that had just performed in front of 10,000, 12,000 people at the sports arena. I don't know if you've heard about Van Halen, how they used to do things. They would pick women out in the audience and have their roadies go and give them a backstage pass. They would say something like to the roadies, row 5, aisle 6, seat 7. And if they performed all their duties satisfactorily, David would give them money afterwards, like a $100 bill, $200. Anyway, so I was getting ready to go in the room, but standing outside the room was his bodyguard. He had a bodyguard. The bodyguard looked at me and said, "Yes, what do you want?" I said, "Could I go in the room to see David?" He said, "No, you may not." Okay. And that was it. And however, the feelings I felt from being rejected, so to speak, were kind of washed away from the encounters I had with Alex and Eddie and Michael. And that goes to show, that proves that sometimes people can sense when we have a conflict going on in our mind and want to help. You know, we're all in this together. And we're all meant to help each other. And so that was something that was resolved. And afterwards, I continued to be a fan. But you're probably wondering about the soul part. In my opinion, David Lee Roth is an old soul. Okay, thank you. Well, my friends, I was somehow was cut off. It might have been the ETs out there that did it. Anyway, I was about to talk about souls. We are all souls, right? Now, some might have more experience, if you will. Maybe more past lives. That is the main determiner of just how old your soul is. I compare it to, say, let's imagine you have a brother or a sister. You're in the 10th grade, and they're in the 5th grade. Now, just because they're in the 5th grade doesn't mean that you're any better than they are. Am I right? We're all equal. We're all souls, even though some might be young or intermediate or advanced souls. We're all souls. We're all interrelated. We're all children. Of the creator of the universe. And now I'm being distracted. I've got to try to get the dog in. So I'm going to try to keep on talking, but he's distracted me. But we are all souls, you know. My show is called The Church of the Soul's Evolution. We are on a soul's journey throughout the universe. Planet Earth is just one step along the way in your evolution through the process of reincarnation. Yes, it is true. Then you will, at some time in the future, be born into another planet. Unless you don't want to deal with the physical universe anymore, and some people don't. It's too much. Is it too much for you? I want to continue my evolution and go to a planet of a superior category of evolution. Planet Earth, on a scale of 1 to 9, yes, the planets in the universe are arranged on a scale of 1 to 9, is a category of 1. Now, the Category 9 planets out there are as close to heaven as you can imagine, with very bright colors and animals don't eat each other. The animal and plant life is just incredibly beautiful. The waters are pristine. They're not polluted. The air is clear and not polluted. Hold on, please. All right, Nanny Dog has gone back in. So no more barking. And then all planets in between are a different variation. I'm going to take a drink. Of what's in between a Category 1 planet and a Category 9 planet. A Category 1 planet, as you might imagine, is being at the lowest level of evolution, a place where there's a lot of war and killing that has gone on and continues to go on throughout the centuries and even now today. The war in Gaza Strip, Ukraine. Is there any good reason, any justification in anybody's mind, anybody's reasonable, logical mind for killing a fellow human being? No. Even someone who was guilty of the worst imaginable sin, the worst sin that you could imagine, someone like a Hitler or a Mussolini or Saddam Hussein or all the people that were responsible for the deaths of many human beings before in the past, Napoleon. Remember seeing the movie The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio? Leonardo DiCaprio's character in the movie, his son was killed by a bad man, and he ran into an Indian who, upon conversing with him, told him that his family had been killed by the Sioux Indians, and so he had a lot of heartache too, but he said if he walked away, revenge is in the hands of the Creator. If we could only understand that more fully. I know it's hard. If someone kills your mother or your father, you want revenge. It's a natural kind of feeling. But if you kill somebody, I'm telling you the truth. If you kill somebody against their own will, I'm not talking about like hitting them on the freeway. I mean, out of aggression, they will ghost you for the rest of your living life, I guarantee it. They will be a ghost and they will be hanging around you. And that's not a fun thing to have to experience. My father went through it. He killed a German in World War II. From what I understand, it was either him or my father. My father drew his gun first and shot him. But my father had PTSD in the worst way. He used to wake up at night swinging. And sometimes these ghosts, they're not friendly either. You know what I mean? They'll torment you. They'll intimidate you because you took their life, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the reason, which reminds me of the song War Pigs by Black Sabbath. You remember those lyrics? Generals gathered in the masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerers of death construction. In the fields, the bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning the brainwashed mind. All those politicians that sent soldiers off to war to die, 58,000 here in the United States in the Vietnam War. Second verse. Politicians hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out to fight? They leave that all to the poor. Yeah. Continues on. Time will tell on their power minds, making war just for fun, treating people just like pawns in chess. Wait till their judgment day comes. Yeah. And indeed, their judgment day will come. There will be a reckoning each of us is going to be accountable for all the things we do. If you killed somebody, or we're responsible for the deaths of people. Mr. Putin, are you listening? Anybody who has been responsible for the deaths of people, they have that on their souls. Now, it might seem justifiable. That's because we just haven't come up with a solution. We just haven't been smart enough to figure it out. It's like I said before, intellect. It's also called absolute intelligence. When you have achieved absolute intelligence, you don't need offensive weapons. You know how to defend yourself perfectly. Third verse of War Pigs. I'm going to take a drink. In the darkness, woke up turning, ashes where their body is burning. No more war pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. On their knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for their sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah. And it's true. Some of these people are going to spend time in God's jail. And that is not a fun place to be. There's some terrible, horrific demons there that know how to chew up a spirit and spit it out. And the body rejuvenates, the spirit body rejuvenates, and they have to go through it all over again, feel that pain, until they are rehabilitated, my friends. Sometimes it could take a long time, even though there is no time in heaven or hell, because we only experience time here on Earth because our planet is rotating on an axis, producing half a day of light and half a day of darkness, and we revolve around our sun 365 days. That is our time, in essence. We have clocks. There are no clocks in heaven or hell, my friend. So one day could seem like 1,000 years. Can you dig that? I'm going to take a drink. But we are evolving. And everything is pretty much typical of a Category 1 planet, where it's at in its evolution. We've been through a lot, and we've made progress. Well, we're trying to have peace. Mr. Trump is getting, I think, lots of good brownie points from the Creator, from the Mother and Father God, for trying to have peace here on Earth. I don't know about those drug boats, though. Killing people on them, you know, maybe 5 or 10 at a time. What about their souls? What about their families, any children that they have? Maybe some were innocent. Maybe they weren't actually drug boats. Is there another way? Maybe disable the boat in some way rather than take their lives. I'm just saying, you know. And the universe is such a huge place. How am I doing on time? 35. Okay. By the way, I've got a solo in church tomorrow. And it's called Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. Those of you that know me know that I am a mostly Christian man, although I respect all the other religions. But with so many different religions and each one saying, we're the ones that know the truth. You know, something has to be wrong. I'm going to take a drink. Also, as I've mentioned before on previous shows, and as I think you know, religion is a money-making business. I think it's incumbent upon every soul, every human being, to find their own way. I have used religion as a stepping stone in my life to get to where I need to be, where I finally come at age 71. I am all right with my soul. There are some things I'm still working on to improve myself and not be unkind to people or animals. But overall, I think I've achieved a lot of spiritual development. And every day is an opportunity. Every day is a gift. And Jesus, I've talked about Jesus before. According to my research, I know this might burst the bubble of some people, and there were two Jesuses. One, the one who was born in Bethlehem, the baby, and indeed there was some divine intervention there, actually, in, I'm sorry if I'm saying this, but I always like to speak the truth of what I believe in, whether it's just my opinion or not, and you're entitled to your opinion, because I can sense already, you know, some people, they're like, what? Well, I learned this from the book, The Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And I won't go into the details of the book, but there's a chapter, Who Was Christ? Is entitled, Who Was Christ? So, I'll go back. I'll try to summarize it. Back in Jesus' day, the world was in a pretty poor state of affairs, you know. And the time was ripe for divine intervention. People were killing each other. There was a lot of sexual immorality. And so it looked like the world was heading down the road of destruction. And these extraterrestrials who intervened, they have guardianship of our planet. They're on a superior category of planet of evolution, a planet of a superior category of evolution. They are hermaphrodite, about 9 feet tall, and they have been interacting with planet Earth for many thousands of years. In fact, they parted the sea. Yes, there is a scientific explanation for that. It's what you call really advanced technology from another planet, and all the other things that were so-called miracles with Moses. But with Jesus, like I mentioned, the time was ripe for a savior, someone who could save the world from its sin. And therefore, the baby Jesus was born. The mother Mary was artificially inseminated. How else would it happen in the physical world? Physical laws apply, my friends. Physical laws apply, my friends. So the baby was born. A lot about what you heard about is true. The three wise men from the east is not actually true, but the angels appearing before the shepherds was also created by the extraterrestrials who know how to produce a collective hallucination, if you will, with their superior minds. It's something to do with the brain. But suffice it to say, the baby Jesus was born, and he was an advanced soul, very advanced. However, he was born into this world through what is known as the River of Oblivion, which means there's a veil there, and all your knowledge of your past lives and universal access or universal knowledge is erased. And someone that way, being born into the planet that way, would not have knowledge of how to perform miracles. Nevertheless, like I mentioned, he was still an advanced soul, and he was able to teach some of the scribes and Pharisees and a lot of people about evolution and spiritual development. And then at the age of 12, along with his brother Yuriki, he went through China, Burma, and India. Yuriki was killed. He kept a lock of his hair. He wound up in Japan, got married, had children, and died of a ripe old age of 95, I think. Check it out on the internet if you don't believe me. So then, approximately 18 years later, these extraterrestrials from the planet Fayaouba, like I was talking about, created a human body, like an avatar, and the soul of a very old, an old soul by the name of Arioch, came and put his astral body into that human body and walked around for 3 years and did the ministry of Jesus, performed all the miracles with help from the extraterrestrials up above. And the goal was for him to die and be resurrected. Judas was asked to turn Jesus in, because he had to die. That was the bottom line. If you think of nothing else, know that he had to die on the cross so he could be resurrected. And if you want to think that he died for our sins, you're entitled to believe, if you want to, that's your opinion. However, know that he did come back to life, so he died for our sins and then came back to life. What does that say? As I've said before in previous radio shows, you can have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe and your mother and father God without any intermediary. You can communicate directly with them and repent to them if you need to. You need to repent for your sins. But back to the resurrection, the body was beamed from the tomb onto the spaceship. Repairs were made. They left the wounds in the hands or the wrists and the feet and on the side there just to show that it was indeed Jesus and he had been crucified. And then he walked around for 40 days before he ascended and up out of sight into the spaceship and was whisked away. And I think now his spirit, if I'm not mistaken, is there in heaven in the throne room next to the mother and father God. But going back to the song, I'm going to take a drink. The song is Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. So tomorrow, in front of the congregation, which can be about 200 people, I will be singing this song. It'll be the last song of the day for the choir. And the situation is, the piano player will be there. We have two piano players, and I'll be standing in front of them with a microphone on a stand, and it goes like this. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne, build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hoped. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. That third one didn't sound quite right. I have to get that. It's hard to get it right. It's like, thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life. So it goes down and up. Anyway, so that's it. And we'll probably repeat the chorus. And I know it's not exactly what I believe, but I don't. There's some people I just can't burst their bubble that are part of the congregation, part of the choir. They are that way, and they're going to stay that way for the rest of their lives, and they won't change. So I'm not going to try to change them. On my radio show, I can talk about anything because I'm free to talk about what I believe in is the truth. Let me take a drink. Nevertheless, I have a good time in church, and we get to think about what Jesus did and that incredible history that happened all those years ago, and the good things that Jesus did, the one who died on the cross, and the miracles. That, in my opinion, is more important than thinking about him dying for our sins. We need to focus more on the miracles and how they are performed, how they were performed, the details of each, and being able to walk on the water. How did he change water into wine? How did he calm the sea? How did he feed the 5,000 people on the Sermon on the Mount? How did he heal the lepers? How did he heal the man that was paralyzed for 38 years? How did he heal the blind? How was he resurrected? From being dead with the heart stopped to alive again. You have to believe that there are other beings out there helping us. That was part of the plan. And I personally believe that we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that plan that happened all those years ago, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, that Jesus had died on the cross. We wouldn't be here today because when they had that intervention, the world was on the road to self-destruction. Believe me, there was war, there was killing, sexual immorality, bestiality, people having sex with animals. It was bad. And the time was ripe. The time was perfect for divine intervention, but in a different way than what most people think. And indeed, we were saved. Some people don't believe that. Try to tell that to a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist. I'm going to take a drink. There was all kinds of evil going on. And even still today, there is that same kind of evil. But it's understandable, my friends. I've said this before, I'll say it again. We live on a very violent planet, if you will. We are not at the top of the food chain. Animals do eat each other. The atmosphere is changing all the time. The weather's changing. The barometer's rising and falling. You can get killed by a bolt of lightning. You can get killed in a tornado, a hurricane, a tsunami, an earthquake, volcanoes exploding. There are animals that will eat you up. Snakes, poisonous snakes that will bite you and kill you. Poisonous spiders, too. All kinds of things. Not to mention getting on the freeway and driving around. Every year, about 50,000 people in the United States alone die on the highways. So, suffice it to say, this world is a very difficult place to live in. And if you have survived up until this point, give yourself a pat on the back, please. You are a survivor. And I hope you continue to survive and perform your mission, complete your mission in accordance with the Mother and Father God's will. That was reviewed before you were born. We all picked our lives, our family, our friends, our accidents, even what we looked like, we were going to look like. That was all picked out in advance to give us that evolution we needed in our soul's journey to continue on and achieve the highest levels of perfection of our soul's evolution, so that you can, and I can, one day become a co-creator God. We'll never be the creator of the universe, who is both male and female. I'm going to take a drink. But we can be like him, her. We can learn with our words how to utilize those cosmic forces out there and create planets, a sun to begin with, and spirit children. How many people on planet Earth? 7 billion. Our Mother and Father God are the creators of our souls and our spirits. We were breathed, so-called, into existence by their merging of the spirits. Kind of like here on Earth, we have that process between a man and a woman, reproduction. It's like that in the spirit world too. That's something I mentioned this before on the previous show. Something to look forward to, my friends. There is going to be a lot of fun in heaven. There's a lot of activities, and you're going to be a pure spirit, and that's who you really are. There's going to be feasts. There's going to be activities, people talking, angels everywhere, highways paved of gold, chariots going around. All the time, people are praising the creator of the universe for the miracle of all creation. Beautiful, not only gold on the highways, but gold everywhere, and silver and precious stones and pearl and marble. Beauty everywhere. Valleys of beautiful flowers, flowers that you've never even seen before, of different colors, which are alive. Beautiful trees with the fruit of life, the trees of life with 12 different varieties of fruit each month. The river of life that you will drink out of and immerse yourself, go for a swim in and swim away all those negative leftovers from the life that you just lived here on earth. All those people from every culture throughout the centuries, famous people, and women. If you're a man, all the women that you thought about, that you knew, that you saw on TV, that you loved and would have liked a relationship with, but unfortunately it wasn't meant to be. And so even today, you might not meet, say, if you love Beyonce or Lady Gaga, just to give you a couple of examples. What are the chances of you maybe having a relationship with them in this life? None, right? But in heaven, they're going to be there one day in the future. And since there's no time in heaven, you can go up to them, take them by the hand, go have some private time together, do whatever you want, talk with them. Love their souls, say wonderful things, talk about your previous life here on earth, your future, going around the universe, maybe living on another planet of a superior category of evolution, maybe not immediately graduate from a Category 1 to a Category 9 planet, but maybe a Category 6, where they have spacecraft that are traveling around the universe at the speed of light and going interdimensional. You could have a different body, maybe a gray body. There's some really cool gray bodies that I like. They have these large heads, you know, gray skin, dark eyes. Their hands are different, their feet are different, and they are extremely intelligent. How would you like that, to operate a spacecraft, go around the universe and explore other planets? But going back to what I said about women, any woman that you can imagine that lived here on earth, or maybe some that are here now that later on will go to heaven, you could have a sexual relationship with them in heaven. I'm not kidding. And it's so much better there, I hear. So much better, my friends, better than here on earth in our physical bodies. Isn't that something to look forward to? And I am remiss for not having mentioned the throne room where there's so much activity, a sea of glass in front of the throne, and the Mother and Father God with their beautiful, glorious, bright lights shining, almost unbearable, unless you're able to withstand the glory and brilliance, dancing on that sea of glass, the laughter, the joy, music, angels flying around everywhere, the noise, the happiness. It's the epitome of joy in heaven, reaching the throne room and being with the Mother and Father God. And yes, you better believe there's a Mother God. Gonna take a drink. Don't get yourself in a situation where later on that day in the future, where you say, oh, I wish I'd known better. If only I had known that I wasn't a motherless child in heaven. That I have a Father God, yes, but you also have a Mother God who created you. It took a mother and a father, male and female, the Alpha, the Omega, the yin and the yang to create your soul and your spirit. And that's what you are. This physical body is just like a coat that you will take off and throw away when you become a pure spirit on that day when you reach your expiration date into the future, far into the future, I hope. Because as I mentioned previously, and I'll say it again, every day is a gift, my friends. Every day is an opportunity to learn. And what is greater than learning, really? To grow and develop ourselves spiritually, to evolve our souls. And so here's a prayer, because I'm running out of time. Creator of the universe, you are out there. You're like an aurora borealis, but with all the colors of the rainbow. An electrical beam inside, kind of like the head in The Wizard of Oz, behind those two pillars of fire. About 1 minute, you said, Doug? And the Creator is omniscient, knows everything, right? And omnipotent, is able to do anything, a magic that is incomprehensible. And the Creator is out there. All we have to do is try to communicate with him, her. And he and she will. Take it from me. Anytime you want to, Creator will listen to you and help you if you ask for it. That's it, my friends. I'm out of time. I'll talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.